Well, good morning, everyone. One of my favourite children's book series is Mr. Men. Truth be told, I still enjoy getting them out now and then and having a read. And one of my favourite characters is Mr. Topsy-Turvy. Mr. Topsy-Turvy. Now, Mr. Topsy-Turvy's house is an upside-down house. It has an upside-down front door. The curtains are hanging upside down. His chimney is upside down. He wears his hat, as you can see, upside down. He reads books upside down, and he starts at the back instead of at the front. And he talks in a topsy-turvy kind of way. Afternoon good is how he greets the hotel manager as he checks in. I'd room alike. When he goes to the shops, he asks for a sock of pears instead of a pair of socks, and then he proceeds to put them on his hands rather than on his feet. At the library, Mr. Topsy-Turvy puts all the books upside down on the shelves, and at the art gallery, he wants to hang all the pictures upside down as well so he can see them properly. Don't get any ideas, kids. Over the next couple of weeks, we're going to be thinking about how Christianity is topsy-turvy, upside down, to the way in which we often think about and go about life. We're going to be thinking about how weakness is actually strength next week, and how the least is the greatest in our third talk. And this morning, we're going to be thinking about how Jesus said we're to lose our life in order to save it. Topsy-turvy. If God's ways, if Jesus' ways are so different to ours, we need his help, don't we, to think his thoughts after him. So how about we pray as we start looking at his word together? Let's talk to him. Our God and Father, we thank you that when we lack wisdom, you invite us to ask you, and that when we ask with the right motives and for the right reasons, it's your delight to answer that request generously. We do acknowledge that your ways are often so different to ours, and so we pray that you would help us this morning and over the next couple of weeks to think your thoughts after you and to follow in your ways as we live our lives. Amen. Well, as we start our series by thinking this morning about how we are to lose our life to save it, I wonder if you've heard the story of Ian Usher. What I'm about to tell you happened about 15 years ago or so. He was a 44-year-old British immigrant living in Perth at the time who auctioned his life on the internet through eBay. In the days leading up to the auction, he wrote these web diaries and posted videos that showcased his hobbies, told what his interests were, showed what his lifestyle in Perth was like, all in an attempt to attract buyers. Buyers who would purchase his life. When bidding started, the price rose to more than $2 million, only for it to be revealed later that they were bogus offers, hoax bids. In the end, although he'd hoped for a figure around the $500,000 mark, when this 7-day worldwide online auction came to a close, Ian Usher's life sold for $399,000. Just short of 400 grand. What did the buyer receive? Well, Ian Usher's home, his furniture, the prospect of a job, not a job as such, a prospect of a job, and access to his friends. In short, Ian Usher's life. Here's what the man himself said about the whole thing. I intend to walk out my front door with my wallet in one pocket and my passport in the other, nothing else at all, and get on the train with no idea where I'm going or what the future holds for me. That is weird stuff, isn't it? Selling your life on the net. But it raises a question for us, doesn't it? What is our life worth? How much would your life go for in an eBay auction? What would be your asking figure? What amount would you be happy with? $500,000? $2 million? Ian Usher's $399,000? Interestingly, centuries before Ian Usher came up with his weird and wonderful idea, Jesus spoke about these very same issues, about how much life is worth. And if we're prepared to hear him, we might just be surprised by what Jesus has to say about your life and mine. Have a listen to what he said, and if you'd like to follow along in your Bibles, it's that same passage that Steve read out for us earlier, Matthew chapter 16, and we're just going to look at verses 24 to 26. Here's what Jesus said. Matthew 16, verse 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it. What good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world yet forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul?" I'm sure you've received invitations before to birthdays, anniversaries, performances, retirements, Matt's Thanksgiving service. Don't forget to let us know you're coming. Just a little plug there. Jesus here holds out his invitation to us, but it's not really an invitation that you'd normally receive. In fact, I'd be surprised if you've ever received an invitation like this one. Imagine opening up the envelope or clicking on the email or looking at the SMS as it comes through and reading this. "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." That's Jesus' invitation. If you want to come after him, which is really just another way of saying if you want to be a Christian, then this is what it looks like. Deny yourself, take up your cross, follow him. I don't know what you thought being a Christian was before you walked in the doors here this morning. Maybe you thought it was somehow connected with genetics, some kind of hereditary thing, you know, how some people are kind of a part of one particular kind of family that happens to be Christian, and then if you're not a part of that family, well, then it's too bad, you kind of missed out. It's obviously not the thing for you. Or perhaps you thought being a Christian was about being good and doing good. Christians are good people, you think. They don't swear, they don't get drunk, they're upright people and they do good things. They help people, they give money to noble causes, they go along to church. That's a good thing. Being a Christian, well, surely it's about being good and doing good, isn't it? Or maybe you thought being a Christian really wasn't all that different from being anything else. Christians might go to a church on a Sunday, but Muslims go to a mosque, and those with no particular religious connection might go to Westfield Miranda or to a sports stadium on a Saturday or a Sunday. Christians look to the Bible for guidance, but Muslims have the Quran, and others look to, I don't know, star signs in newspapers or magazines, or follow their feelings or advice from friends perhaps. Different forms, sure, but underneath, isn't it all just the same, different ways of expressing the same truth, that we all need to somehow make sense of life? And if that works for you, then that works for you. And that's all good, isn't it? I'd like to suggest this morning that if we want to find out what it means to be a Christian, a pretty good place to start would be with its founder, wouldn't it? Don't you think it'd be wise to tune into what Jesus Christ says about what Christianity is really all about? If you want to strip everything back, if you want to get to the heart of the matter, simply Christianity, then surely listening to Jesus makes sense, doesn't it? And so here it is again, and we're going to spend a little bit of time on each of these phrases. Here is what Jesus says about the matter. Here is his invitation. "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Now, what does he mean? Well, let's take a little bit of time with each of the parts. First off, deny himself. What does that mean? Well, let me tell you first of all what it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean denying yourself certain things at certain times. You know, going without chocolate for a month or giving up coffee for a week or maybe a day for some of you, I'm not sure. It's not that. It's not denying yourself certain things. It's more extreme than that. Jesus says, deny himself. It's denying yourself. It means giving up on living life the way you want. It means handing over the reins of your life to another. It means getting out of the driver's seat and handing the steering wheel to someone else. Where you only ever did things that affirmed and esteemed yourself, now you do things to affirm and esteem another. Where you only ever concentrated on what served your own interests, now you concentrate on what serves the interests of another. Where you were previously fixed on becoming as prosperous as you could, now you're fixed on the prosperity of another. Denying yourself means giving up on running the business of your life in your way and voluntarily putting yourself under the management of someone else. Deny himself. And take up his cross? Well, again, let's start by thinking about what it doesn't mean. You might have heard people talking about some experience or some circumstance in life, and they'll say, we all have our cross to bear. That's not what Jesus means here. When Jesus originally spoke these words, the people he was talking to would have been left in no doubt whatsoever as to what he meant. They'd seen people with their own eyes who'd taken up their cross. They'd heard with their ears the scream of where someone ended up when they took up their cross. There was only ever one place where you were headed when you were carrying a cross. To your death. When you take up your cross, what you're doing is saying goodbye to your old self, the old you. You're turning your back on that you that put your hopes and your dreams and your aspirations and your agenda at the top. What Jesus is saying here about taking up your cross is as extreme as saying, you, come and die. Which is what he confirms by finishing his invitation by saying, follow me. You see, if you look at those verses that Steve read out for us just before this passage, Jesus actually tells us what he means. He tells us exactly where he's going, doesn't he? Follow me, Jesus says. Well, follow him where? Well, have a listen to what he says from verse 21. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, chief priests and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Following Jesus, it means following one who's on his way to his death, on his way to be killed. So what does it mean to come after Jesus? According to Jesus himself, what does it mean? What does it look like to be a Christian? It means deny yourself, take up your cross and follow him. In short, lose your life. I think that captures Jesus' invitation here pretty well, doesn't it? Come after me, lose your life. And I'm sure it wouldn't have escaped your notice that this applies to anyone who wants to come after Jesus, anyone who desires to be a Christian. There's no other way. Verse 24 again, then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone would come after me, he must. You see, what's the impossible application of Jesus' words here? That is, what's the impossible way of understanding what he's saying? The impossible way of applying what he's saying to our lives. Surely it's thinking that there's some other way to come after him, isn't it? That there's another route to take. That your definition of what it means to be a Christian should sit right alongside Jesus' definition of what it means a Christian. There is no other way. There is no other definition. This is it from the lips of Jesus himself. If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Now, if we're honest, that is a big call, isn't it? That is an extreme invitation. I wonder if it's how you think of Christianity. See, I think we usually want to try and think about Christianity in more positive, more user-friendly kind of terms, don't we? When we're explaining or promoting Christianity, it's probably not the slogan or tagline that we'd go with, is it? Lose your life. It's not exactly in the How to Win Friends and Influence People manual, is it? So why RSVP? Why would anyone respond to such a big call, such an extreme invitation, and say, yes, I accept, I'm signing on, I'm in? Why would you RSVP to this invitation? Well, the answers for why you'd do it, why you'd accept Jesus' invitation, they're found in what Jesus goes on to say. And he gives us two reasons. Why RSVP? Well, firstly, because the inviter, Jesus, knows that by losing your life, you'll actually save it. The inviter, Jesus, knows that by losing your life, you'll actually save it. It sounds strange, doesn't it? Lose your life to save it. But that's what Jesus says, doesn't he? Have a look with me at verse 25. Verse 25, for whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it. You see, here's the thing. We think that by looking after ourselves, by looking after number one, that's how we preserve our life, how we keep our life. And so off we go in life, don't we? Working hard at doing life our way. Becoming more and more preoccupied with my life, thinking that all along we're saving my life, only for us to lose it all in the end. So if you want to try and save your life in that way, Jesus says you're going to lose it ultimately. See, Jesus, he knows better than us, doesn't he? He knows far better than us, and he's loving enough to tell us so. See, he knows that when you turn your back on living life your way, that's actually when you get your life. He knows that when you throw your life away for him, that's when you find it. He knows that when you quit thinking that life is all about what you want and start realizing that it's all about what he wants, that's when you start living, really living. You see, by accepting his call to deny yourself, take up your cross and follow him, by RSVPing to his invitation to lose your life, that's actually how you save it. Whoever loses his life for me will find it. That's Jesus' promise. Which ultimately, deep down, is what we all want, isn't it? This is what we're really after. See, we don't want to get something as important as life wrong, do we? So there's lots of things in life that you can stuff up and make a mess of, isn't there? And you can recover from, but not this. See, yet so many people just travel blindly through life, supposing that trying to save their life for themselves is how they'll find it. But that's not how it works. You miss out on the permanent, the eternal. You miss out on life as it's meant to be lived. So why RSVP? Well, firstly, because the inviter, Jesus, knows that by losing your life, you'll actually save it. And second reason, why were you RSVP to Jesus' invitation to lose your life? Second reason, because the inviter knows that there is nothing more valuable than your life. You see, we'll RSVP to Jesus' invitation when we recognise with Jesus that there's nothing more valuable than your life. See, have a look at what he says in verse 26. Jesus says, what good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world yet forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? What good will it be to gain the whole world yet forfeit your soul? No good. It'll do you absolutely no good at all if you forfeit your soul, your life. You see, you could acquire all the possessions in the world. You could gain all the riches that are on offer. Imagine that. Gain the whole world. And yet it'd do you absolutely no good. I wonder if we really believe that. Do you really believe what Jesus is saying here? See, I think most Australians are intent on doing the exact opposite of what he's saying, don't they? Gaining the whole world, or at least our little piece of it. But Jesus says that whatever it might be, it's already too high a price to pay. You're going to come out at a loss, in the red. Every single time you put anything on those balanced scales with your soul, your life on the other end, and you know which way it'll tip each and every time. Life always wins out. Jesus knows there is nothing more valuable than your life. You could even gain the whole world, he says. But if you forfeit, if you surrender your life, it'll do you absolutely no good. And what can a man give in exchange for his soul? Nothing. Nothing. There is nothing you can give in exchange for your soul, your life. There's no possession, no matter how expensive. There is no bank balance, no matter how respectable, that you can take in and use as a deal for life. See, in the stock market of the universe, shares in life, shares in soul come out as top traders every single day of the week. See, Ian Usher's 399,000, half a million, 2 million. You've got to be kidding. We sell ourselves far too short, don't we? There is no equivalent. There is no substitute for your soul, for your life, according to Jesus. Jesus' invitation, lose your life. Why RSVP? VP? Because the inviter knows that by losing your life, you will save it. And because the inviter knows that there is nothing more valuable than your life. So let me ask you this morning, will you RSVP? Have you RSVP'd? Come after Jesus. Deny yourself, take up your cross and follow him. It's what becoming a Christian and being a Christian looks like. What it means according to Jesus. As extreme as it is, we'll do it when we realise that what Jesus says about life is true. It's right. And it's loving. That by losing your life for him, you do actually save it. And that there's nothing more valuable than your life. You see, ultimately, Jesus, he's not anti-life, is he? Sometimes we can slip into thinking that way about him, can't we? He's stingy. He doesn't have my best interests at heart. He doesn't really know me. He'll cramp my style. No, Jesus isn't anti-life. He's not even anti your life. He's anti your preoccupation with your life. He's against you being so focused, so centred on you and your life to the exclusion of everything else. And he's against that because he knows that your preoccupation with your life, living life your way, will end up bringing about the greatest of damage upon you in the end. See, no, Jesus isn't anti-life. He's actually the ultimate pro-life campaigner. He's shown it by revealing that there's nothing more valuable than your life and that you actually save your life by losing it. And ultimately, he's shown it by being willing to give his life for ours, hasn't he? You see, Jesus, he hasn't just talked it, has he? He's walked it as well. He's shown just how pro your life he is by losing his life for you. You see, inviting you to lose your life, big call, extreme invitation, no doubt about that. But Jesus isn't asking more from you than what he's willing to give himself. See, he was willing to lose his life, to give his life for you. These are more than just words from him, aren't they? So if you're struggling to RSVP, if you're kind of like holding out on accepting his invitation, or if you're having those nagging feelings, have I made the right choice in following Jesus? Am I missing out on something in life by following Jesus? Listen to his teaching, accept what he says to us, and look at his death and resurrection again. The fact that he has given his life and that he rises again to show us that losing your life really is the way to save it in the end. How about we pray? Let's talk to God. Lord, each one of us, all of us, we've all tried to save our lives by living it for ourselves. And we're sorry. And we ask for your forgiveness. Thank you for showing us that by losing our life for Jesus, we actually save it. And thank you for showing us that there's nothing more valuable than our life. We thank you again this morning for Jesus giving his life for ours. Help us to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow him. Help us to lose our lives so that we might save them. Amen.